Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's just so tired, the Russia collusion nonsense, isn't it? I mean, come on. Like, how much money do we have to spend here to find out that there's nothing going on here? And then they lie and they use it to their advantage, like they did with the Hunter Biden laptop, to tell us that 51 former national intelligence officials all said the Hunter Biden laptop had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation, except it was real. All of it, even the disgusting nudie pics. But they had an election to steal. And to do so, they had to make sure that nobody would actually investigate the Hunter Biden laptop because it showed all of Joe Biden's corruption. So they interfered with the election by not only burying the story, but then twisting it to make it seem as if the Ruskies were at it. And they're trying to do the same nonsense again today. Now, I listened to the press conference by the attorney general earlier. He didn't say anything. He didn't outline anything other than there's a bunch of bad guys in Russia trying to influence our elections. Okay, what about Iran? What about China? What about all the other bad guys around the world? What about people that aren't affiliated with a nation state, as the left loves to call them? I'm curious about that. But of course, there was very little about that. But anyway, I'll bring you some of that. And as the show goes on, I can tell you, though, that based on what the attorney general came out and said today, he said the seized sites, he seized 32 of them, I think, were linked to a Russian campaign known as Doppelganger, one of the most prolific and public groups spreading disinformation linked to Moscow. So they're at it again, and they say the Russian government is trying to influence the 2024 election. I assume to help Kamala Harris, since Putin did endorse Joe Biden. I assume. Look, why would you not want Joe Biden there if you're Vladimir Putin? Really, I mean, yeah, why would you not want Kamala Harris there, too? She's going to keep the war in Ukraine going, right? I mean, wouldn't you want her there? You got the cash is flowing through Moscow right now. Flowing through Moscow. Why would Putin want that to change? He wouldn't. I mean, he's making a ton of cash selling his natural gas to the same allies in Europe that are supposed to be fighting him to stop him from his encroachment in Ukraine. Like France, for example. Buying record amounts of Putin's natural gas. So why would he want Trump to win when Trump's going to go in there and demand some sort of a peace agreement and end this? And Putin wants to keep this going and going, knowing that the United States is never going to commit to actually really stopping him. So it's going to go on for years because the military-industrial complex is going to keep getting rich and rich off this war in Ukraine. So as long as we keep funding this, there's no end in sight. And we're going to keep funding it if Kamala Harris wins. So why would Putin want that to change? Also, too, for the 4 years Trump was president, he did not invade Ukraine. He invaded Ukraine when Obama was president. He invaded Ukraine when Biden was president. But he didn't do it when Trump was president. So, I mean, talk about a crappy puppet. You know what I mean? Plus, Trump was the one warning Germany and other countries about buying natural gas from Putin. And also, don't forget something else, too, which is that this administration, the Harris-Biden administration, has instituted a ban on liquid natural gas exports. So if you're Vladimir Putin, you love that too. Meanwhile, we're doing everything we possibly can to embolden China, which is Russia's ally. We're also not taking the Iran threat seriously. Not that I want to go to war with Iran, but we're not taking the Iran threat seriously. Biden tried to do another Iran nuclear deal, and they're also a buddy of Vladimir Putin's. So all the bad guys win if the Democrats remain in power. And America suffers because we will not make natural gas the forefront for the world. And so then they have to turn to countries like Russia to buy it. We won't make our oil the forefront of the world. So they'll turn to countries like Venezuela and Iran to buy oil, and China with their dirty, filthy coal. So it makes perfect sense why the bad guys would want to see the Democrats in power. Don't think that the war in Ukraine, like Putin thinks that if Trump gets in there, he's going to get to take over Ukraine, because Trump has said that. It's not, but he's going to demand a settlement. He hasn't outlined the details of that. But all I know is that for 4 years, Vladimir Putin thought it was wise of him not to invade Ukraine. And then Trump leaves and then he goes in. So some Putin's thinking something during those 4 years about why invading Ukraine was not a good idea. It wasn't like he didn't want to. You know, it wasn't like he invaded Crimea when Obama was there. So it wasn't like Putin was thinking to himself, boy, gee, I don't know. And then Trump leaves office and then Putin turns around and goes, you know what? I think invading Ukraine sounds like a great idea. Why don't we do it? What do you think? This thought just occurred to me now in 2021 or 2022 when everyone in there. Of course not. So Stop it already. But nevertheless, we're told that Russian collusion is the biggest thing. School shooting in Georgia, very, very sad situation. Interestingly, that it's already being politicized, as of course you know it would be. But there'll be a press conference and update on this, I think, about 4 o'clock. We'll take it for you live. They have the suspect in custody, which is rare in these things, because usually the suspect is either killed by the police or kills themselves. So the fact that they have the shooter in custody, the alleged shooter in custody, is a big deal. So we'll take the we'll take it live. But Kamala Harris is speaking on it right now. And I'm sure that, and I'm just kind of reading the captions here, but she's going on about guns and gun violence and the usual stuff. And look, this is every parent's worst nightmare, no doubt about it. I've got 3 kids in school, and it's back to school season, and this is the absolute worst. It is the worst thing ever. Luckily, the good news is that statistically, I know it's terrible to say, but I like to use data. The data points on this are that they are incredibly rare. The reason why we hear about them, obviously, is because they're so horrific that they become the big story, obviously. But statistically speaking, your kids are very safe at school. That's a good thing. It's a very good thing. It's something we should celebrate in this country. But it's also election season, and so the Democrats are going to use this to go on about gun violence, the epidemic of gun violence versus the epidemic of crazy. And Georgia is a must-win state. And Georgia right now favors Trump slightly, who obviously has been a steadfast defender of the Second Amendment. So Kamala Harris and her campaign are going to try to use this situation to drive a wedge going into this election for people that are on the fence about guns or worry about guns, but are not particularly Democrat voters, to say, you know, we'll do something about this. But what do they do exactly? I mean, the solutions to this are complex. But the one I've always favored is making sure there's people with guns in the school so that they can fight back very quickly and take these people out. Like, I'm happy that the police department has a school resource officer for our schools. I'm happy. I like to see that. I think every school should have one. I really do. I've always believed that. Because as long as the cops are not there to bust kids for having, you know, food fights in the cafeteria, because that's a disciplinary matter, not a law enforcement matter, I think their presence there is great. I mean, first of all, the kids get to know the cops. Cops get engaged. You know, they do. They get very engaged. And then the kids know that they can go to cops if they need help, not to fear them, not to fear the police, that they can be there as a way to help them, which is a good thing. As I remember years ago, we had some Philly cops in the studio back when we used to do our Salutes to Shield events. And I remember a police officer in Philly telling me, he was saying that he was in Wawa and this mom was there. And she said, you better calm down or I'm going to have that officer arrest you. And he said, please, ma'am, don't, as a little boy, you know, don't let your son be afraid of us. We're here to help. We want them to come to us, and we want them to know that they can come to us and we will help them. So I thought that was a very smart way of saying it by the police officer at the time. But, you know, but Democrats don't like that solution because they don't like guns. So they don't want to see people with guns in school. But you can never, unfortunately, solve the crazy problem. You know, the crazy epidemic in America it's a big country. A lot of crazy people, and crazy people have access to guns. Crazy people are going to do crazy things with those guns, evil, crazy things. Unfortunately, the intersection of evil and crazy, this is what happens, and it's horrific. It's awful. It's the worst, because these are innocent kids. And we don't know all the details. We don't know if it was a kid at the school. We don't know yet. They have not released a lot of this information. But certainly this will be used for maximum political effort, no question about it. And that stinks, you know what I mean, to politicize something like this. And the fact that it's Georgia, and the fact that it's a swing state, and the fact that it's a must-win state, and the fact that it's very, very close, and Kamala Harris's campaign is going to try to tap into those fears of suburban moms and dads too. But, you know, I mean, this is their campaign is focusing very heavily on suburban women voters, and they're going to try to tap into that by playing up a lot of fear and making it seem like Donald Trump's going to enable crazy people to have lots and lots of guns. It's a lie, but that's what they'll probably wind up doing. She's also saying right now that she's the underdog in this race. That is true. She is the underdog in this race. We have 15 days till early voting begins in Pennsylvania. It is really a dead heat. And my optimism is because I really do believe at the end of the day, people have to make a binary choice in this election. no candidate's perfect, and you're never going to like every position of every candidate, but you only get to choose one of the two people. Really, one of the two of them is going to win. Now, this is the thing. It's as much as you may want a third-party candidate to win, one of the two of them is going to be president. It's either going to be Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. So my optimism is that people are going to decide that Trump's better on the economy than she is and vote for Trump, and he's going to wind up winning. But I'm also not Pollyannish. I know the challenge that's ahead, and I understand how close this is going to be. And I really worry about a lot of different factors, including the fact that, you know, the dead will rise to vote again in Philadelphia every Halloween like they always do. You'll get mail-in ballots that'll come in. They won't be signed. They won't be dated. And the courts will tell us we have to count them anyway. I mean, these are all the things I worry about. But the way to overcome that is to have such a large turnout that you can negate that. But I worry that you will have some Republicans who will sit this one out because they want to see the end of the Trump era. I read this article today in Politico about that. Jonathan Martin writing about that, saying that for some Republicans and conservatives, just letting Trump lose, they think is just better because they can just let the MAGA era go. And I hope that they get their heads examined because, first of all, it's not true. What Trump didn't create the forces that are out there. The forces that are out there have coalesced around him, but they were always out there. And a lot of that is a rejection of the Republican Party's insistence on always being the party of war. And for example, in the article, he points that out, you know, defense hawks, as they're called. They're not defense hawks. People who are defense hawks are people that want to make sure America is secure. Everybody wants that. Defense hawks is a nice way of saying somebody who likes to see America intervene in foreign conflicts. That's the politically correct nomenclature for that. So you say you're a defense hawk if you want America to be engaged in all these foreign entanglements around the world. But I don't. And I think a lot of people are rejecting that. And I think that Trump tapped into that very early on. And before him, it was Ron Paul tapping into that, but without the same level. And it was largely coming on the heels of the Iraq War that this happened. And look, Obama tapped into it a lot, too, in 2008. The difference, though, is that Obama was all in on war. You know what I mean? He was all in on it. And so is Biden. So Trump tapped into something there. That's one example of that. But also that economic populism. And look, I don't agree with Trump on everything. You know, I'm not a big tariffs guy, for example, but I'm still going to vote for him because I know that he's going to be better for the economy than Kamala Harris is going to be. You have to make a binary choice. You don't get everything you want. I tell that to my kids all the time. You don't get everything you want in life. You have to choose. And it's kind of like those shows, those dating shows, you know, where you've got this, like, the bachelor is going to give out the rose. Somebody's getting that rose. And you don't get to pick somebody from the audience. Although maybe that would be a cool twist. If going forward, maybe they already have that. I don't know. I don't watch reality television. I don't really watch television. I just don't have time. But when I do, it's not that. But if I did watch reality TV, I don't know if there's a show where the Bachelor or whoever else, the Golden Bachelor, can reject all of the female choices he has, or vice versa. It's the Golden Bachelorette. And then pick somebody from the audience or a member of the crew. I don't know. But that'd be a good twist. It's like, nah, you know what? I don't like any of you. I'm going with Lenny the Key Grip. Could be an interesting twist. I'm just saying, I should maybe propose that show. But in the meantime, you have a binary choice in the elections. You got to pick one of the two. So my hope is that the American people will, not the American people, because that's irrelevant in this election. We don't have a national election, but the people, at least in the swing states, will decide that Trump's policies are better for them and better for America than Kamala Harris's policies are. That's why the debate next week is so critical, because it has to be a debate about the policy specifics that Kamala Harris has endorsed in the past, not the fugazi ones that she's pretending to endorse now, but actually to talk about the positions that she's engaged and embraced in the past, from reparations to banning fracking to banning gas-powered vehicles, and on it goes. But they're throwing out the usual promises and platitudes. In this speech right now in New Hampshire, which is a state now that is up for grabs, although there's this controversy over whether or not New Hampshire is a lost cause for the Republican Party. I don't know if it is or not. I haven't really drilled into the numbers yet. We're just recovering from Labor Day. I mean, give me a break, right? But her whole thing is we're going to give somebody everything. It's the Oprah Winfrey idea. You know, you get a business loan and you get your student debt paid off and you get a first time home buyer credit and you get a middle class tax cut. And there's no idea on how to pay for any of this stuff. But you just promise it to everybody. We're going to lower the cost of starting a new business. How? Are you going to slash regulations? Because that's the primary way you can do that. Ask anybody who's in business. They'll tell you that the biggest expense they have is dealing with the rigmarole of red tape on the state and the local level, in addition to the federal level. But are you going to do that? You want to lower the cost of home ownership? Get rid of all the red tape around the construction of new homes, starting with all the environmental regulations around new homes, just as a small starting point. You going to do any of that stuff? No. She's going to throw money at the situation, or promise to throw money at the situation with no idea how to pay for it. And then at some point, they'll just do it because they don't really care how to pay for it. Let's pass another couple trillion here and there and then worry about it for some future generation. And then it'll just drive up inflation costs, which is going to make the cost of home ownership more expensive and the cost of a business more expensive and everything else. And they'll turn around and they'll blame corporate greed and they'll blame big grocery, whatever it is. But they're not going to actually solve any of these things because none of their ideas can actually solve anything. If they wanted to eliminate regulations, really slash them, I mean, just drastically slash them. Like, I love when people are like, well, some regulations are good. Not many. I mean, really, they're not that many that are good. Most of them are a gigantic annoyance, quite frankly. And a lot of those regulations are incredibly expensive to deal with. And some of them are just designed to kill projects altogether. Housing is a great example of that. And there's lots of places to build, believe it or not. As much as people tell you all the time that we've got a population problem, we don't. And when people tell you all the time that, well, we just don't have any room to build, there's plenty of room to build. But a lot of the problem comes down to things like stormwater runoff and, you know, tree cover and all the other nonsense that do-gooders and state legislatures have put into place that make building a home or even adding a deck to your existing home very cumbersome. I mean, I'm sure you know somebody, maybe you, who've had to deal with the pain in the neck of having to deal with, I just want to put a deck on my house. It's like, well, you can't. Why not? Well, because of this and that and the other thing. You go, it's my house, in my backyard. I just put a deck on. Well, you got to apply for this variance and that zone. You got to pay this fee and that fee and all the government fees, too. The left never talks about that. It's like when Biden talks about, oh, and she's going after capital gains, too. This will be the unrealized capital gains, too, which nobody even understands that. But they just throw big words out there. You know, we're going to go after capital gains. Woo! People scream, yay! They don't even know what they're talking about. Her plan to help small businesses, and then now the crowd is booing at Donald Trump mentions. So there you go. That's the big story of the hour, by the way, brought to you by a very successful small businessman, Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaVanaria, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is ready to give you the perfect smile. So go see him, VanariaDental.com. We got a big show for you today. We're going to take all the latest breaking news live. I really have no interest, though, in jumping into Kamala Harris's press conference, but we'll grab some audio clips of it for you. And I have Merrick Garland today announcing the Russia collusion. I also have to tell you that in New Jersey, the latest on the wind turbines, and Friday we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. So hope to see you there Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a lot of fun. But Congressman Jeff Van Drew is going to join us then. He's been fighting these things. Due to supply chain issues, one of the big wind turbine whale-killing companies has announced that they've got to put the wind turbines on hold. You know what I think? I think they think Trump's going to win and kill the project, and they don't want to spend any more money between now and the election. So they're using supply chain snafus as their excuse. I really believe that, because they know that if Trump wins, he's going to kill it, and he should. Absolutely, with a stroke of a pen. Just like Biden's allowing this stuff with a stroke of a pen, these are international, well, not international waters, but these are waters that are within the jurisdiction of NOAA, the National Oceanographic Atmospheric Administration. And Biden's allowing this to go through via executive fiat, and Trump can kill it with executive fiat, too. He can even override people like King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, Phil Murphy, because we're talking about miles off the coast and the ocean waters there to be regulated by NOAA, because you're so far off the coast, more than 2 miles anyway. Well, that's why I think these companies are thinking to themselves, oof, you know, maybe we'll just hit pause on this and go, oh, supply chain. Ah, that pesky COVID. COVID. Yeah, COVID supply chain. And take a pause. other words, the confidence is not real high that Kamala Harris is going to win. It's close. It's very, very close. But they are not measuring the drapes in the Oval Office just yet, and they should not be. Not anytime soon, at least. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Also got a pair of tickets to give away to Politics and Pints with Donald Trump Jr. and Dom Giordano coming up on September 12th. All that straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, a couple things to mention right off the bat here about this Russia collusion nonsense. There's no real evidence of anything, as usual, but James Carville wrote a piece in the New York Times, and I'm convinced that this is, he's saying the quiet part out loud here. So what he wants Kamala Harris to do is to basically stop with the warning of Trump is going to be the destroyer of the world. You know, stop making him Thanos, where he's going to come in and snap his fingers and destroy democracy. Instead, mock him, belittle him, make him as an unserious candidate. That's what Carville is opining in the New York Times. At the same time, though, Democrats can't help themselves but want to talk about how Donald Trump is Thanos and is going to snap his fingers and destroy democracy, as we know it, around the world, you know, and take over the world and literally half the population dead. So that gives them the ability to scratch the itch by having the government come out and warn about Russia and say that Russia is going to help Trump in the 2024 election, while Kamala Harris can go out there and belittle him as an unserious candidate. Because if you think about it, the Hillary Clinton playbook in 2016 was Trump's going to work with Russia to make sure that Vladimir Putin and all the other strong men in the world, she used that term all the time back then. It was annoying, like everything else she said. All these strong men would get their way and would be able to do anything that they wanted. And Trump's going to destroy democracy and start nuclear war. And Putin's going to get everything he wants. And it was annoying. And it also didn't work. But then they went back to that playbook. Remember Joe Biden's hell-soaked speech, red lights in Philadelphia, just that entire graphic novel background at Independence Hall about Trump being the greatest threat to humanity. And they were doing it again. And then someone, probably Carville, maybe Axelrod, who knows, maybe the guys from the Pod Save America, those the Pod Bros, as they're known, maybe those guys, I don't know, they said, you got to stop doing this. You need to mock him and show him as an unserious candidate. But they said, but what about Russia? And what about the fact that Trump is going to destroy the world? And they said, well, then let us take care of it. As Merrick Garland, the others in the back of the room going, we'll do it. We'll come out and tell everybody how all these bad actors are trying to work to help Trump win. So you get to scratch your itch there. And I do think that that's what this is about, because nothing that he said today was of substance. Even Bret Baier, I was watching Fox News after, Bret Baier and Andy McCarthy, and they're both saying the same thing along with Sandra Smith, which is, what was that? What was that? Nothing. That was really nothing. And in addition to that, we're all supposed to believe this now after they lied to us and said 51 former national intelligence officials were behind the Hunter Biden laptop. That complete and utter Russia collusion fugazi, but bigger than a fugazi. I mean, that was election interference of the utmost degree. Just think about it. Back then, it's October 2020. We're in the middle of COVID, and they wanted everybody to think Joe Biden was this nice old man in the basement, keeping you safe from mean tweets and from COVID, right? And in fact, the real Joe Biden is a corrupt SOB who's been in D.C. forever, and he's a nasty guy, and he's crooked. And so that was all going to come out in the Hunter Biden laptop, all of it. But they could not take that risk. They couldn't take that chance. They had to make sure Trump was going to lose. So to do that, among other things, they had all these national security deep state hacks who were about to get very, very rich off the war in Ukraine, sign this letter and say it has all the classic earmarks of Russia disinformation. And then the unholy triad of government, big tech, and the corporate media did their thing because they silenced it. I mean, you had journalists who were oppressing their own colleagues at the New York Post for the reporting by Miranda Devine on the laptop story. You had big tech, Twitter, Facebook. Twitter was not owned by Elon Musk back then. Twitter and little Mark Zuckerberg at Meta. I think they were just still Facebook at the time. Suppressing the story. You could not talk about it under the guise that it was election hacking or some nonsense. So you couldn't share the story. You couldn't talk about the story. Nothing. And then you have the usual chorus of suspects going out there over and over again, saying the same thing. What was the same thing that they were saying over and over again? They were saying that this was, in fact, Russia. On all the Sunday shows, they said it week after week. Meanwhile, they were covering up a massive scandal around Joe Biden making money off of his position as Vice President of the United States of America by using his office to enrich himself and his family vis-a-vis his Ukraine portfolio and China and Russia, ironically enough, and the lesser corrupt country of Romania. Lesser only by size. I don't want to disrespect Romania by saying that they're not corrupt. Of course they are. But lesser in terms of size. And that was a huge election interference because people should have had the right to know that Joe Biden was a corrupt SOB, but they couldn't. They couldn't know that because it was entirely put upon by the people up on high. You will go out there and tell everybody this is Russian misinformation, disinformation, whatever it is. So here's a little bit of Merrick Garland today announcing this. I got a couple cuts for you here. First of all, he made no mention of Trump nearly being assassinated in Pennsylvania, obviously. But he did go on. It's kind of a long cut, but you'll get the gist of it. Cut number one.
Since the 2020 election, we have seen an unprecedented spike in threats against the public servants who do administer our elections. Election officials, workers, and volunteers in communities across the country have been targeted with heinous acts and threats of violence. The following are a few examples of successful enforcement actions that the Justice Department has taken over the past year. In New Mexico, county commissioners and other elected officials were targeted with a series of shootings that the department has alleged in court papers were organized by an unsuccessful candidate for the state legislature who claimed that the election had been, quote, rigged against him. At least three of the shootings occurred while the intended victims or their children or their family members were at home. In February, two shooters who we alleged were recruited by the candidate pled guilty to carrying out the attacks. In March, the candidate himself was charged in a 13-count superseding indictment. In Arizona, a man sent a state election official a bomb threat warning that if she did not resign within 2 days, quote, the explosive device impacted in her personal space would be detonated. In March, the man was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison for making that threat. In Maricopa County, Arizona, an elections official, a county attorney, and their families were threatened by a defendant who called for, quote, a mass shooting of poll workers and election officials in precincts he believed had, quote, suspect results. His revolting comments included, quote, dead children burn into the memories of people. The county attorney who had been targeted later reported that he, his wife, and 4 children had been assigned round-the-clock protection and issued body armor in response to the threat. And the elections official who was targeted said in a victim impact statement that, quote, while I am the person directly threatened by this case, the impact of such threats is felt by a much larger community.
What does this have to do with Russia?
The thousands of committed election workers who operate our democratic processes. When threats are made against any election worker,
impact
reverberates throughout the entire
community. Here, pause it for a second. I know what it is. So what they do is they take examples of crazy people making threats and they make it a federal case. As my dad used to say all the time, don't make a federal case out of this, but they can't help themselves. So take examples of crazy people making threats, and then they'll say, now the Department of Justice has to get involved here, and somehow this is because of Russia? I don't really even understand that exactly, but nevertheless, here's Garland reporting that Iran is targeting Trump's campaign because his victory would be against its interests. Okay, cut number two.
We have observed increasingly aggressive Iranian activity during this election cycle. That includes recently reported activities by Iran to compromise former President Trump's campaign and to avoid an election outcome that it regards as against its interests.
One of the sites that he mentioned in his the 32 sites that the DOJ is now seizing, according to our buddy Greg Price on Twitter, one of the dummy social media accounts that the DOJ cites as part of a so-called massive Russian influence operation is called CNN California and had seven followers. Seven followers. All right? Seven. So you see, that's the thing. That's the thing about this. When you really break down the impact of this, sites and bots and everything else, you find out that they're actual, they may be there, they may exist, but their ability to influence people is so minimal. And that's why eventually when they did look at Russia and their efforts in the 2016 election, and they concluded that they had nothing to do with it. Actually, the reason why Trump won is because Hillary Clinton ran a terrible campaign, Trump ran a good one, and Trump focused on the Rust Belt, and Hillary Clinton ran her campaign out of a Brooklyn loft with a guy named Robbie Mook, and did not in any way, shape, or form tap into the concerns that were on the minds of working class Americans, particularly white Americans who've been left behind by the past administration. That's why they lost. She can blame the Russians all she wants, and she still does. To this day, she still blames the Russians. But then you find out they do an analysis of all the bots and everything else, and you turn around and you go, wait a second, how impactful was this? And you find out that it was so minimal. But the DOJ comes out, and you get a clip of him actually talking about Russia. Is there one of him actually talking about Russia? I know he was going on for quite some time, but I'm just curious what he has to say about it. But in the meantime, let me play you this clip. This is the Attorney General talking about his election task force. All right. So they want to make sure that if they can find a way to have federal control over the elections, they'll certainly take it. Cut three.
In a democracy, people vote and argue and debate, often loudly, in order to achieve the policy outcomes they desire. And the Justice Department will continue to relentlessly protect the rights of all Americans to peacefully express their opinions, beliefs, and ideas. But the promise of our democracy is that people will not employ violence to achieve their preferred outcomes. The public servants who administer our elections must be able to do their jobs without fearing for their lives. That is why this task force has been marshaling the full resources of the Justice Department to aggressively investigate and prosecute threats targeting election workers, officials, and volunteers.
Threats against election workers. So threats, because a couple crazy people call in some threats, and now then they have the feds involved. And again, all this is being done so that they can have Kamala Harris's campaign just mock Trump. Well, they can turn around and they can scare everybody about what Trump will really be. So they can have it both ways. They can have her do the mocking as the candidate, and then behind the scenes, they can have the government turn around and warn everybody that, oh, all these crazy people are trying to help Trump win. All like Tim Walz's brother, who just endorsed Trump. All these crazy people want Trump to win. Dictators, because they know Trump will be so helpful to them. Well, here's a little montage of Democrats accusing Trump of colluding with Russia. This is a good one. This is an oldie but goodie. As we're about to now, another Kremlin-run media and influence operation, which is what the Attorney General announced today. Here's a little montage of Democrats accusing Trump of colluding with Russia. We got to play the hits. Got to play the hits. And you got to recycle the hits. I'll play that when I come back. But it's the, just recycle, rewash, rewind. That's what they do. Recycle, rewash, and rewind. It's so boring. Come on, at least give me something. Listen, relationships matter at Cherry Hill Bobble. You hear me say it all the time. It's a guiding principle of how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience, always doing what is right, and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal available. And the result is that so many of their customers, like me, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who've been with them for as long as 30 years. Look, I'm a customer for life. I love the fact that our family car is the XC90, and I loved taking it on vacation last week. We got there safe and sound. It is the safest 7-passenger SUV on the road by far. And it has so much space and cargo room for the kids. Don't do a minivan. You want to do this. It has a ton of power, too. It's got a ton of horsepower. And it's also incredibly fuel efficient because it's a hybrid, but you don't have to plug it in or anything like that. It's great. And you get a $15,000 discount on the lease of any in-stock 2024 XC90 hybrid. Or qualified buyers can lease the incredible C40 for 36 months for less than $500 a month. Cherry Hill Volvo is the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. And don't forget, we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studio. So in this day and age of cancel culture, Judith not only said, I want to support the show and the station, I want the studio naming rights. Look, if the XC90 is not for you, if you don't want an SUV that big, the XC40, the XC60, fantastic SUVs. And they've got them in stock at Cherry Hill Volvo. They also have pre-owned Volvos as well, including the S-Class made right at their plant in South Carolina. So what are you waiting for? Go see them today. You will love the treatment. You'll love the experience. And you're going to love the savings, too, because they pride themselves on finding you the absolute best deal they possibly can at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's only Wednesday, but we'll be live at the Grand Hotel Friday. I'm excited. They're going to have an update on the shooting in Georgia. I just got some... I was looking around. Apparently now they're saying the shooter was 14 years old. Horrific. And the school might have got a phone call this was going to happen. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll take it live for you. Very, very sad situation. Sadly, it's also being politicized, as you can imagine. This also comes after the Nashville shooter's manifesto came out, and that whack job, who was absolutely crazy and hated people, all kinds of, I mean, just the pure hatred of Aubrey Hale. And had psychiatric problems throughout her entire life. And yet, we don't know, I mean, hormones, psychotropic drugs, the combination, how much that impacted things. There's a lot of questions around it, I can tell you that. But they finally released that manifesto after how long? Because we know why, obviously. It was not the MAGA white guy who was doing the shooting, but somebody who hated Christians and hated straight people and hated white people, too. Just an awful person. But anyway, this is a terrible, terrible situation for America. It's the worst fear of a parent. It certainly is. Luckily, like I said, data-wise, your kids are very safe at school in this country. That's the good news. But I know it's no solace on a day like today, certainly if you're a parent in Georgia. But that is the good news. And we should at least take solace in good news whenever we possibly can. Here's Merrick Garland talking about relentlessly countering and disrupting attempts by Russia and Iran, as well as China. Cut four.
Today, our colleagues at the State and Treasury Departments are announcing parallel actions in both of these matters. Unfortunately, we know that Russia is not the only foreign power seeking to interfere in our elections. As the U.S. intelligence community noted 2 weeks ago, we have observed increasingly aggressive Iranian activity during this election cycle. That includes recently reported activities by Iran to compromise former President Trump's campaign and to avoid an election outcome that it regards as against its interests. Those recently reported Iranian activities also include efforts to obtain access to individuals who themselves have access to the presidential campaigns of both political parties. The Justice Department's message is clear. We have no tolerance for attempts by authoritarian regimes to exploit our democratic system of government. We will be relentlessly aggressive in countering and disrupting attempts by Russia and Iran, as well as China or any other foreign malign actor, to interfere in our elections and undermine our democracy.
Now, how did any of them ever undermine our democracy is the point. How did they ever do that? The only people that undermined our democracy were all the people that said it was Russian disinformation with the Hunter Biden laptop. They're literally the only ones who ever did. Think about it. The only people that were ever successful in undermining our quote-unquote democracy, even though we are a constitutional republic, but the only people that were ever able to do that were all the 51 national security hacks who all got rich on the boards of defense contractors and lobbying firms and law firms in D.C. and the swamp. They're the only ones who actually subverted democracy because they lied and they told everybody that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. So you see, they use the shiny object over here. They go, look, kids, Russia. And then everybody goes, oh, Russia. And then they can turn around and they can blame Russia on whatever they need to. Whatever they need. Who knows? Maybe there's something that's going to come out about Kamala Harris. And they'll turn around and go, Russian disinformation. And sadly, a lot of people will believe it. And the media will go along with it, and big tech will go along with it, and whatever cover-up they have to do. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. If they do this press conference, we'll bring it to you live. Either way, don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.